we questioned the defaults of the infinity pools and redesigned how and when we use technology. We don't have limitless willpower, so every redesign had to be easy to use. We couldn't erase every obligation, so we worked with constraints. We experimented, failed, and succeeded. And, over time, we learned.
In this audiobook, we'll share the principles and tactics we've discovered, along with many tales of our human errors and dorky solutions. Let's start with the story of Jake's distraction-free iPhone.
It was 2012, and my two sons were playing with a wooden train in our living room. Luke, age 8, was diligently assembling the track, while Flynn, age baby, drooled on a locomotive. Then Luke picked up his head and said, "Dad, why are you looking at your phone?" His question wasn't intended to make me feel bad. He was just curious. But I didn't have a good answer. I mean, sure, there was probably some excuse for checking my email right at that moment, but not a great one. All day I'd been looking forward to spending time with my kids, and now that it was finally happening, I wasn't really there at all. At that moment, something clicked. It wasn't just that I had succumbed to one moment of distraction. I had a bigger problem. Every day, I realized, I was reacting to my calendar, to incoming email, to the infinite stream of new stuff on the internet. Moments with my family were slipping past me, and for what? So I could answer one more message or check off another to-do? The realization was frustrating because I was already trying to find balance. When Luke was born, in 2003, I'd set out on a mission to become more productive at work so that I could spend more quality time at home. By 2012, I considered myself a master of productivity and efficiency. I kept reasonable hours and was home in time for dinner every night. This was what work-life balance looked like, or so I believed. But if that was the case, why was my 8-year-old son calling me out for being distracted? If I was so on top of things at work, why did I always feel so busy and scattered? If I started the morning with 200 emails and got to zero by midnight, was that really a successful day? Then it hit me. Being more productive didn't mean I was doing the most important work. It only meant I was reacting to other people's priorities faster. As a result of being constantly online, I wasn't present enough with my children. And I was perpetually putting off my big someday goal of writing a book. In fact, I'd procrastinated for years without typing so much as a single page. I'd been too busy treading water in a sea of other people's emails, other people's status updates, and snapshots of other people's lunch. I wasn't just disappointed in myself, I was pissed off. In a fit of irritation, I grabbed my phone and furiously uninstalled Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. As each icon disappeared from my home screen, I felt a weight lift. Then I stared at the Gmail app and gritted my teeth. At that time, I had a job at Google, and I'd spent years working on the Gmail team. I loved Gmail, but I knew what I had to do. I can still remember the message that popped up on the screen asking me, almost in disbelief, if I was sure I wanted to remove the app. I swallowed hard and tapped delete. Without my apps, I expected to feel anxiety and isolation. And in the days after that, I did notice a change. But I wasn't stressed. Instead, I felt relief. I felt free. I stopped reflexively reaching for the iPhone at the slightest hint of boredom. Time with my kids slowed down, in a good way. Holy smokes, I thought, if the iPhone wasn't making me happier, what about everything else? I loved my iPhone and all the futuristic powers it gave me, but I also had accepted every default that came with those powers, leaving me constantly tethered to the shiny device in my pocket. I started wondering how many other parts of my life needed to be re-examined,